Welcome back. Welcome back online. Those of you online, welcome back. Those of you in person, we've been asking the question, how can I be sure that I have forgiven? Because a lot is at stake. Jesus says, if I do not offer forgiveness, I do not receive forgiveness. So we want to be sure. And therefore, figuring out how I can be sure that I have forgiven someone is really a crucial question because, like I said, a lot is at stake. And as I get triggered, as I'm reminded of my hurts in the past, as I see the person that hurt me or something new comes up again, how can I be sure? I want to know because I don't want to fall back into bitterness. I've been there for a long time. I told you my Bitter Ben story and all that. I've been there. It's not a pleasant place to be. So we want to make sure about this. My mind is going somewhere else at just a moment. I forgot to tell those of you who are online that we are going to be doing communion following this if you didn't notice the email. So get those elements ready. We're going to move from the message into communion shortly. But we are people who are sort of, if we're not currently hurting, we are people who are between hurts, right? We're going to be hurt again. This is the reality of our lives. And so this really isn't a series about our past. This is a series about our present and our future as well. And so we want to figure this out. This is really key. And I want you to keep the people in mind who have hurt you in the past. Keep them in mind at the moment. I challenge you even to write them down if you make notes. Write down those names or put the picture of that person in your mind at the moment as we think about making sure, have I forgiven this person? And maybe it's the pastor or the group or the teacher or whatever it is. But keep that person in mind as we think about this. Because this message is about our response to them and our response to those who are like them coming up in the future. And we want to be sure that we're not falling back into bitterness. Would you grab your Bibles and go to probably the most famous passage in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew chapter 5. It ends in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, just a portion of it, and then a portion of a very similar sermon in Luke chapter 6, where a lot of the same words are used. I don't want to assume that Jesus only preached this sermon once. He probably has had a whole greatest hits list and just recycled them over and over again, as all good preachers do. And so there are some differences between these two, and there are some things that are the same, and we want to go to both of those this morning. Okay, so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, I keep cutting out, I hear that. Do you hear it, Dan? Some of you are noticing. Let's see how it goes. It's telling me to make sure it's tight. It's tight. We'll see how it goes. Beginning at verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now flip over to Luke 6, we're going to start at verse 27. Jesus says very similar things. "But to you who are listening, anyone with ears to hear, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend without expecting to get anything back, and then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well done. Thanks be to God indeed. Our responses to people get filtered through a grid that we have inside of us. And your grid's going to look different than mine, but we all have a grid. And through this grid, it's what we use to determine how it is that I'm going to respond to someone when they do something to me, when they speak to me, when they want something from me, when they hurt me, and so on. And our grid is probably based on a number of different things. And you might be asking yourself the question, you know, do I like this person? Because that might determine how it is that I choose to respond to them. Do I like them or do I not like this person? Does this person hate my guts? You know, because I'm going to respond differently to someone who hates my guts than someone who really loves me and really looks up to me or something like that. We might be using a grid that says, how does this person treat me? I'm going to treat them in the same way that they treat me. And if they're not treating me very well, they're going to get the same kind of response. And if they treat me really well, well, they're going to get a better response. We have that part of our grid as well. We might also ask the question of ourselves, you know, what do I want from this person? Or what does this person want from me? And that might be part of our grid where I'm going to respond in a certain way to a person who knocks on my door and is trying to sell me something than I am when someone shows up at my door with a gift, right? Then we have a grid through which we filter how we respond to people. And frankly, I've noticed about myself that I'm a lot more polite to someone that I need something from than to the person who calls me on the phone and is trying to sell me something or shows up at my door. And shame on me. But just as I reflect on my own responses to different people and ask myself the question, why is it that I respond the way that I do? It's because I actually have a grid. I'm filtering it, my responses to these people through the grid. And you know what? My grid is dead wrong. At least according to the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain here that Jesus is preaching. What does Jesus say to those who, how do we respond to those who hurt us? How do we respond? What does he say? We're gonna do good to them instead. What? I know we're used to this, right? We love the Sermon on the Mount until we have to try and look at it, right? It's just beautiful until you have to put it into action. But all of a sudden, we show up at this thing, and we're like, read the Sermon on the Mount with the person whose name you wrote down a moment ago, the person who hurt you. Our grids need to change. And the grid that Jesus puts in place here is, how does God treat other people? Treat them in the same way. And he uses weather, and we can relate to it this week, right? We had a hot week, didn't we? It wasn't just the wicked people that got the heat, right? I wasn't just the one that got the heat while the rest of you got to, you know, enjoy the cool or something like that, right? God sends the heat and the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous alike, right? I wake up early, very early in the mornings this week, each day, and I'd open up the windows before the sun was up, before my family was up, and I'd try to get the house as cool as possible. And I remember over and over again thanking God for the mercy of the wind that was coming, that was actually going to send some cool air into my house to try to cool this place down. But God didn't decide, you know, who was going to get the cool wind and who wasn't based on their moral report card. This week, God has a different grid. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. He sends the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. My grid needs to change because I wouldn't be operating that way. I just told you that I don't. I'm way too polite to the people I need something from, and I'm pretty rude and abrupt to the people who need something from me. Those people who try to sell me something, I think, are a little bit subhuman. I need to change. My grief needs to change. So bring that back now to our topic of forgiveness. talking about forgiveness, right? And think about the people that you have named. Our grid, our response to them is not based on how they've treated us. Regardless of what they've done. It's not. Our response to them should be based on how God acts. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And he blesses them. And when I say how God acts, that like it's really important, because it's not just about how God feels about someone. We're not commanded simply to love people as though that's just a feeling that God wants put in place for all of us. Remember, forgiveness is not a feeling, but love also is not a feeling. It's a command to action. Go show them loving things. It's to do something loving for them. It's love in action instead. Notice all of the action words that Jesus uses here. It's love your enemies, which is action-oriented. Do good to those who hate them, hate you, right? Another action, right? It's bless those who curse you. That's what Jesus says, right? What's the reaction? What's the grid? You receive something crappy, and you respond with blessing. Wow, I've got a lot to learn. Joel and I were praying for a couple a while back, and Joel was praying blessings over them. And when he got through blessing this couple's marriage and their finances and their spiritual life and their family life and all this, and he's just going on and on and on. Like, he's like, Lord, would you even bless their lawn? May it just like be seen from heaven. It is so green and beautiful. All that. That's the idea that God has for us, that we respond with blessing all the way down the list for these people. The people who have hurt us, we genuinely come to God and ask that God would upgrade their lives from their marriages to their spiritual lives all the way down to their lawn. Are we doing that to the people on our list, people who have hurt us? Jesus says, pray for them. That's pretty self-explanatory, right? But have you thought about the fact that someone hurts me and it just earned them a spot on my prayer list? Because most of the time I pray for the people who are close to me, the people who are important to me, the people that I love, and I ask for God to fix things. But instead, this is pray that God like upgrade the lives of the people who hurt us. They earned a spot on my prayer list by abusing me. It's unbelievable. This is the way that God acts. Look at Luke's passage. I mean, you still have it open there. Run your eyes down Luke's passage and see how many times Jesus mentions reward or credit. It's the same thing. 4 times. He offers reward, credit, if we start acting this way towards not the people who please us. There's reward and credit and blessing when we respond to those who displease us, to the people who have hurt us. In fact, he makes it explicit, right? He's like, what in Matthew, he adds this, what more are you doing than the sinners? And the tax collectors, even the tax collectors and sinners, those rank pagans, they can respond to people who love them with love. You don't get any credit for that. But 4 times he offers credit, reward, blessing to those who actually go to the length that God will go, which is blessing his enemies. Crazy. And I combine these two, Luke talks about reward, and Matthew talks, Jesus says it twice in Matthew, what more are you doing? So if I combine those two things, what I come up with is, I only get reward when I do more. I only get reward when I go above and beyond what it is that the rest of the world does. I only get reward and credit from God when I actually respond the way God does to the people who don't like us, the people who hurt us. So what if we once again applied that to forgiveness? Because Jesus talks about how the world responds and the world loves its friends. And the world is willing to forgive its friends. As we are seeing in the news these days, the world is not willing to forgive those who are its enemies. And it's not willing to bless those who are its enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is meant to be a different place and a different example of that. You know, I was reading a story this week about a church that had been vandalized, and I really don't think it is indigenous people who are vandalizing these churches. I think it's just people or residential school survivors that are vandalizing the churches. I think it's just someone looking for an opportunity and an excuse. But I noticed in one of the news stories that one of the parishioners' responses was, "I understand. And I bless them. I pray for them." I thought that's great. We need a whole lot more of that. Right? Bless at all times. The test of forgiveness is blessing. You want to make sure that you have actually forgiven someone? It's love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, pray for those, bless those who curse you. The test of forgiveness, how I actually forgiven, is do I bless this person? Have they made it onto my prayer list? Would I be willing to do something good for them? Would I, in fact, do something good for them? Am I currently doing something good for them? That's Jesus' grid. It looks a whole lot different than mine. But God has always been this way. This isn't just Sermon on the Mount stuff. I know a number of you have said that you really, really appreciate the blessing I do at the end of every service. You can find that blessing in Numbers chapter 6. Would you go there, please? Numbers chapter 6, beginning at verse 22. I want to read the verses before and after it as well, because it's key. Within the context here, I don't need to talk much about the context. I'll touch on it again in a second here. This is just grouped within a number of different laws. It doesn't seem to relate a whole lot to what comes before or what comes after it. But I'll touch on the wider context in just a second. But Yahweh is currently instructing the priests. And this is how Yahweh instructs his priests. The Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons," it's Aaron and his sons who are going to be the priests in the tabernacles. The priest is the representative of God, right? They speak and act on God's behalf. The Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," and you know this, "the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Look at the next verse. God is still speaking here. And he says, "So I will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Look at verse 23 and then 27. In verse 23, Yahweh says, "You bless your people, you priests." Look at verse 27. "And when you bless those people, I will bless them." Some people will only receive blessings from God when it comes first through us. This is what God has been doing all along, is blessing his people. Now, where is this within the bigger story of what's happening in the Israelites' lives? We're basically between the golden calf and their failure in the wilderness. In other words, God is between two different episodes of being hurt by his people. Right? Golden calf, you all know that story. They're about to fail in the wilderness just a few chapters after this. And in the middle of it, God says, "I want to make sure that my people are continually blessed. And I'm going to make sure that my representatives among them extend that blessing to other people. And if you bless them, I will bless them through you." That's who we are, because we are told both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that we are now a kingdom of priests. In other words, it's not the pastor who blesses everyone else. It is all of our responsibility to bless everyone. I'm going to talk another time about what the content of this blessing is. But this is how God responds to the people who fail. This is how God responds to you if you fail this particular week. You would fail this week? No, not a single hand went up. I see that hand at the back. Yes, thank you. We have one honest person here, friends. God bless you. Receive it. God blesses his enemies and then expects his people to do the same. This is where we're at. This is the test of forgiveness. And we see this in communion. So we're going to quit communion now. We're going to celebrate the way that God blesses his people. Jesus is also between hurts when it comes to communion. Jesus is the one who is, like we said the last time we did this, he's betrayed by his friends. And do you remember what he tells Peter? He tells Peter in advance, as Peter says he won't deny Jesus, and Jesus says he is, he says, but I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to be strengthened, and then you're going to go on and strengthen your brothers when you've been reinstated. Jesus is between hurts, and he knows it's coming again, and he still invites them to the table. He still blesses his friends who are going to make themselves his enemies at the same time. And that's where we're at for many of us. We are either hurting or we're between hurts, and we bless others. Because God is hurting, we have hurt God, we are between those hurts as well. He is between those hurts, and he blesses. He blesses at all times, and he puts people in our lives to be that blessing to other people, to convey God's blessing to each other. Because he wants to make sure that you and I both know that this is straight from him. And it comes through our blessings. So we're gonna pick up on that in the coming weeks. Let's pray. Lord, you forgive us. It's incredible. And Lord, as I see Jesus laying his life down for others and blessing them, I'm humbled. Because I spent some time this week examining the grid through which I view and treat other people, and it doesn't look a whole lot like yours. I'm asking, Lord, if I have actually been as forgiving as I would like to think. I have to admit, I have not. So, Lord, would you forgive us for the ways that we have been withholding blessing to other people? The people who deserved it by hurting us. The people who earned a spot on our prayer list by hurting us. The same way that Peter earned a spot on Jesus' prayer list by Jesus recognizing this guy's about to betray me. Lord, I want to operate at the level of Jesus and not at the level that the world does, where we love only those who love us and bless only those who bless us. So, Lord, would you transform us into a community that will bless those who scrawl on our doors racist and hate-filled stuff? Will you make us people who respond with prayers of blessings over those who insult us or avoid us? Lord, would you make us people that offer the same response Jesus does? Peace. Peace. I'm here to make sure that your life gets upgraded. And I'll go to God for it. But we see that's what Jesus does. And we see it and celebrate it in this communion meal. where you are most clearly represented. It's the call that you've extended to us. So Lord, as we take bread, wine, may it be also with that call to take up the cross and follow Jesus in the same way. And in the same way that Jesus extended life to others by his death, may we extend life and blessing, your life and blessing, to others by the way that we respond to them. Regardless of where they are on the social ladder, regardless of where they are on our own grid, it's those. So we're here to celebrate you once again. I give you thanks. Bread, you're about to take. I praise you for your broken body. Was in our place. As Isaiah and Peter remind us, by his wounds we are healed. Lord, may you heal our physical wounds. May you heal the wounds when we have been hurt by someone else. May you bring about the resurrection life that we long for. Jesus, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you, give you peace. Blessings, everyone. Go in peace. Thanks for being here.